Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. We come to the mountain of power. We come to the place of encounter. Tonight we step into the name of our God. We step into the authority of the name of our God. We align with the proceedings that are breaking forth from thy throne. We seek to drink of the waters of life. One, osafenos sehi, kalavios teha. Salemonia. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please be seated gorgeously in God's presence. On a higher bagabagada. Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, won't you come again? Emmanuel, so the church will see your holy face. Ah. Emmanuel, won't you come again? Osama in the filio no more. Samenai kale sailemo amayani ole fele amayai tela yo saene yo goe ofoni sailemie osie sali alo so amayi ano plade sae amayano ge ega bayai to pali. Salemore, epeta kaile boro klaso zone. Oyaite wotale, oyaite mesaya yaliero. Aye kahore, kahore, epeta aye sagome. Tophlas. Das Mehiva. Wash. Halana Mayataga. Kaila Ose is in a Meshanimo. Aila Lemo Sane. Sine Feno Kario. Yes, I was laboring on Sunday to point out a very critical matter that is bedeviling us as a generation. A point or a situation that is being harnessed by our enemy to wreak havoc among our ranks. There is no better force or weapon available in the camp of the enemy that he uses against the believer that is more formidable than the weapon of the flesh, of self. And I try to make us see what Jesus meant when he said, if any man will come after me, he must first of all deny himself, take up his cross and come after me. So the decision to follow Jesus, the decision to come after Jesus, is not out of compulsion, is not out of coercion, is a decision made by the exercise of the power of our choice, of our will. So Jesus, diagnosing the warfare that is ahead of the believer, ahead of them that will come after him, he said, if any man will come after me, let him first of all do what? Deny himself. That is the only way to win the battle of the flesh. To win the battle of self. And I told us that self in all its shade is being used as a formidable force against the children of God. And that is why it looks as if we are powerless. Because even our congregational gathering is not void of self-seeking individuals that are devoid of the burdens of the Lord. So we gather every week in our numbers. At best, we experience a measure of the power of God in our midst. But territorially, we don't see the impact. On the street, we can't feel the impact. It looks as if the God that we call upon in our own generation is different than the God that the apostles of old served. And I told us that one of the ways to activate and to ascend to the realm of power that is available to the believer is to subscribe to the protocol of brokenness. That if you are broken, definitely God will be with you. Because we saw from Isaiah 57 verse 15. He said, I dwell in the high and lofty place. And also with him that is of a contrite and a broken spirit. I dwell in the high and lofty place, and also with him that is of a contrite and a broken spirit. So if we probe deeper, we will discover that that is where our issue is. The fact that God has been etched out of our midst. Why? Because of the excess of self, self-ambition, self-preservation, self-pity. Name it. All of that have etched out God. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 3, the Bible said that the Lord said, my spirit shall no longer strive with man forever. For he also is what? Is flesh. And I told us that anywhere flesh or self is enthroned, the spirit of power is etched out. The spirit of glory is etched out. We went further to say that to deal with the flesh There are two pathways that God initiated. And we saw it from the book of Exodus chapter 13. When Pharaoh finally accepted to let the people of Israel go, the Bible said that God would have led them to the way of the Philistine. But because they might see war and change their mind and repent, he said he will walk them through the route of the wilderness. So either way, either by warfare or by wilderness experience, God desired that the believer will come to the point of brokenness, because that is where ultimate power is committed to you. If you are unbroken, you can't experience the power of God that is allotted to you. Why? Because if God empower an angry man, he will become more angry. If God empower a proud man, he will do more proudly. If God empower a lustful man, that empowerment will be the reason why we will lose him. Call of verses. I told us that the warfare that we face daily is not designed to consume us. Rather, it's designed to bring us to that place where we will recognize him as the Almighty, where we will see the futility of life and subscribe to the pattern and the protocol that he has laid down for us. Praise the Lord. I want to take us a bit further this evening before God's servant will join us. If you are here, shout amen. If you carefully go through the scriptures, there are a few things that will amaze you. One of the greatest secrets that are revealed in scriptures that ensure consistent victory and triumph for the child of God, or for the ecclesia, that is the church, the body of Christ. One of the secrets that ensure consistent victory is not captured in her ability or in her intercessory capacity. It's not in her wealth creation and wealth transfer capacity. It's not revealed in her understanding of the time and the season alone. If you look carefully, you will discover that one of the greatest secrets or mysteries that scripture reveal that ensure for the safety and the preservation of the people of God and the church of God is nothing but oneness. The mystery of oneness is the greatest phenomenon that exists in the Holy Scriptures that ensure preservation, that ensure protection, that ensure establishment. The reason is because there is no force that is known that have the capacity to withstand or to work against a people that are united. If you probe deep, we will see this as mirrored by the company of the Godhead. This is one of the major mysteries in the scripture that have dumbfounded the most intellectual minds that have walked the earth. The fact that there exists a being manifesting in three distinct personalities. The mystery of the Godhead. Three different individuals existing as one. This phenomena is what revealed the secret of their incorruptibility. The secret of their... Sometimes English become very hard. My God. Kalahasa. The mystery of the Godhead is so fascinating and intriguing, and is what captured and described the secret of their invincibility. The reason why they are incorruptible is captured in the mystery of oneness. There is never a day that God the Father feels less or jealous of God the Son. Neither is there a day that God the Spirit feels less recognized than God the Father and God the Son. But they enter this reality by a mystery, a protocol called the mystery of fellowship. In the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 and 3, the Bible said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and handled, of the word of life. In verse 3, he says, it is that we show you, it is that we witness to you, so that you also will come into that experience. And your experience, your fellowship is not with us, but with the Father. So there is this kind of understanding by the protocol of fellowship that exists between these immortal personalities, that is so robust that every time they meet or every time they engage in this mystery, they grow deeper in oneness. They grow deeper in oneness. And it will amaze you that it is through this protocol that the idea of man was conceived and fabricated. It was through this protocol that the idea of man was fabricated. And if man was conceived by the protocol of intimacy, he will be preserved, he will be protected, and he will be established by the protocol of intimacy. A time came in one of these, their robust interactions. God the Father spoke to God the Son. God the Son spoke to God the Spirit. God the Spirit spoke to God the Father and the Son. And that communion was going on for eons. And the time came that divine wisdom was crystallized. And we heard the utterance of God the Father. He said, let us make man. In the book of Genesis chapter 6, chapter 1 and in verse 26. Let us make man. It will appear as if they have been in a conference of deity, contemplating on an issue. And through that consistent interaction, the idea of man was fabricated. And that is why I say that if man is a product of intimacy, he will live, he will survive, he will be preserved by the principle of intimacy. If you are here, shout amen. Amen. The protocol of fellowship is an organic protocol, because that is where life is generated. That is where power is generated. It is on the account of the robust interaction that exists between this deity that everything within the cosmos is preserved, is upheld, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 3, he said, being the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. As they consistently interact with each other, there is a kind of force and energy that proceed, that is upholding everything within the universe. That explains why the sky will not disintegrate into the earth. That is why the earth will not just sink into oblivion. Because there is a power that keeps everything aligned within the cosmos. Why is fellowship or intimacy cardinal to the work of the believer? It is cardinal because that organic protocol is what will help the believer to be established. It is what brings men and women into oneness with the Spirit, into oneness with each other. You see, there are certain things that you will not know unless you begin to probe the reason why. For instance, there are many people that don't understand why this idea of congregational gathering was instituted. To some, it's just a religious ritual. To some, it's just one of the duties they need to fulfill as part and parcel of their Christian obligation. But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. The Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, and in verse 18, he said, and we all with unveiled faces, with open faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, we are what? We are changed into the same image by the Spirit. We are changed. We are metamorphosed. We are transformed. There is a law in the Spirit that is also true in the natural, that whatever you consistently behold, you are likely to become. The more you look, the more you become. If you think it's a lie, observe married people that have been married maybe from 10 years upward, that have stayed together. I'm not talking about people that are consistently fighting. I'm talking about people that have genuine marital experience, marital bliss. If you observe them, you will discover that the wife looks like the husband. The husband looks like the wife. The reason is because by the protocol of intimacy, they have become one. Spiritually and physically. The man can look at his wife and the wife knows exactly what he's saying without him uttering a word. The wife can look at him without saying anything and the husband knows what he's saying. So it's a law that whatever you consistently behold, you become. This is the idea behind congregational fellowship like this. That by this protocol, we will come into the reality of oneness. Because that is where the ultimate power of the ecclesia lies. Alahasa. Seven Nakaya, Pastor Felix, Manos, Mindriask, Manasa, Mamashos is a Halia. That's the Halo Mosho Sayen. So the idea behind fellowship is to create an economy or an avenue through which man or the church or the ecclesia or people we enter or attain oneness, where we become united as one. That is when we will begin to see the true meaning of the ecclesia and what it really means in the eyes of God the Father. I want to show you three things why oneness is very important. Number one, it is the secret to the blessing. It is the secret to the blessing. In the book of Psalm 133, from verse 1 to 3, we saw that protocol carefully outlined. The Bible said, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? In unity. He said, it is like the ointment, the precious ointment that is upon the head, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to his skirt, the skirt of his garment. Verse 3, he said, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord what? Commanded the blessing. You see, God is an immortal being, is an inexhaustible force, is an ever effulging reality that cannot be exhaustively studied nor exhaustively comprehended. But because he's a being of diverse dimensions and capacity, there are protocols that governs the unveiling of himself. There are certain realities that are available to God that men can never experience unless there is a structure. There must be a foundation upon which that dimension will rest. There is something called the blessing. In all its entirety, the blessing is a reality of God that the church can never enter into until we attain unity of faith, unity of spirit, unity of purpose. It says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. For that dimension of God to rest upon the church, there must be a structure, there must be a foundation that will be solidly strong enough to host that dimension. And until that foundation is laid, we can't host it. We won't see. God will not bring, expose himself like that. That foundation is what is called oneness. When we become one, then we will enter a reality in God never seen. We will enter the power allotted to our dispensation to experience. This is the major problem. And that is why the devil fights so much, because he understands the mystery of oneness. He said, there the Lord commanded the blessing. It is the place of absolute blessing. It's not a place for crumbs. It's not a place for mercy drop. It's a height that when fully attained, you will see the almightiness of God in all his entirety. This is why oneness must be an object or a goal that we press after daily as a people. Because we know that when we ultimately apprehend, we will bring a dimension of God never seen before. And the devil knows. So he will stop at nothing until he frustrates the agenda of the people of God. The attempt to achieve oneness. Why oneness? It is the secret to invincibility, the secret to incorruptibility, and the secret to divine preservation. If you read the book of Numbers, from number 22, from verse 11, you hear of the story of a man called Balak. He is the king of the Moab. He was frightened by the emergence of the people of Israel. He has heard of their fame and how they swept through other nations, unstoppable. And he knew they were approaching his quarters. So he began to contemplate what to do. And he heard of a prophet called Balaam. A man that sees with his eyes open. If you read the credential of Balaam, you will love him. You will love him. He invoked him that he will come and curse the people of God so that they will not be able to harm him or his people. And when Balaam showed up, there was something that the Israelites had that made them uncursable, that made them invincible, that made them unapproachable by any realm or power. It was unity. Unity. In the book of Numbers 24 verse 2 and 5, let me show you. He said, and Balaam lifted up his eyes and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribe, and the Spirit of God rested upon him, came upon him. In verse 5, he said, how goodly are thy tent, O Jacob, and thy tabernacle, O Israel. He said they were abiding according to their tribe. That arrangement was not an accident. It was a divine intelligence that is meant for their protection and preservation. There was no breaking of rank among them. They were in one accord. So when the prophet saw from a higher plane, he saw them in one accord. There was no discord in their midst. So even when he wanted to release a curse, a blessing will proceed from his mouth. Three times, seven altars were erected. Seven bulls and seven rams were slaughtered upon the altar just to summon powers to be able to curse the people of Israel. But the more they try, blessings proceed forth because they were in array, in accordance with the will of God. They were in unity. They were in oneness. Zebulun remained in his lane. So was Issachar. So was Reuben, so was Judah, and there was no breaking of rank. When the prophet tried, every time he opened his mouth, his blessings that came out, he couldn't. Balak was frustrated. I brought you to curse these people. Hitherto you have ended up blessing them. And Balaam did something. If you read Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14, you will hear the lamentation of Jesus. He said, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the people of Israel, before the children of Israel, and to eat things sacrificed unto idol, and to commit fornication. If you go to chapter 31 of Numbers, especially verse 16, you will see where Moses, by the inspiration of God, found out what Balaam did that opened them up, that made their camp pregnable to the enemy. He told them, these people are uncursable. There is no enchantment against Israel, no divination against Jacob, because the shout of the king is in their midst. You can't harm them. The only way you can harm them is what? To make them do things against their God. You will not need to fight them. Their God himself will fight them. Balak arranged young damsels and they entered the camp of Israel. And God released a plague that wiped over 24,000 people until Phinehas killed somebody and the plague stayed. The power of oneness. It ensures preservation. It ensures incorruptibility. It ensures invincibility. Oneness. Number three. Oh my God. It is the secret to absolute power. Oneness is the secret to seeing the absolute raw power of God in his raw form, in his raw dimension. You see, these days, in congregational gathering like this, security have to be mounted. People come with fear. Why? Because you don't know what could happen. Herdsmen could attack you. Boko Haram could attack you. All kinds of evil can be marshaled against the people of God. And most times, when those evils are designed and purported, they succeed. The reason is because in the gathering, there is no absolute power. There is no absolute power. Ashahala. Let me show you something. In the book of 1 Samuel. First Samuel 19. The Bible says, so David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. These were the people that were sent to a fellowship like this, a place where the people of God gathered. They sent assassins to come and pick somebody. And when they approached the place, they saw prophets prophesying. And Samuel was standing as appointed over them. And when everything was in array, in perfect arrangement, the Bible says when they came close, the Spirit of God fell upon them. An assassin began to what? Prophesy. They began to prophesy. It wasn't captured. Of course, they are not born again. But when they came, there was an energy of God that was trapped in that location. That no matter the evil intention that you brought there, if you come, you will be colonized. He said they began to prophesy. As if that was not enough. In verse 21, the Bible says, and when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise, and said, where are somewhere. No. Sorry. Yes, they prophesy likewise. And Saul sent messengers again, the third time, and they prophesy. The first people came, they were colonized. Saul didn't believe it. He thought maybe it was fluke. Maybe somewhere gave them bribe and they decided to betray him. He sent the second part. When they came, the spirit fell upon them. They prophesied. He sent the third quadrant. When they came, the spirit fell upon them and they prophesied. Imagine if we operate in that order. Which Boko Haram will come close that will not give his life to Christ. That time they want to shout, ah, wapa. Then they will say, Shabrahati, Krehosi, Pronosa, Prenani, Ariana, Azahano, Oforoheli, Ezekaliote. It is the secret to absolute power. These days we walk in fear because we have no trust, no faith in the ability that is available to us as a people. So thought, okay, there is something that Samuel was doing. So he decided to look for them himself. Watch what the Bible says. And in verse 22, the Bible said, then went he also to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Shiloh. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, there be a Naioth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naioth in Ramah. And the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. The Spirit did not wait for him to come to where they were gathered. The Spirit located him on his way. And from there, he began to prophesy. Watch, he said, and he stripped off his cloth also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, he saw also among the prophets. He prophesied naked. A king tore his garment and stood stark naked and was dishing out the counsel of the immortals. He came with the mind to murder, to commit murder, to kill, to destroy. But there was something that was at work in Ramah that no evil intention had the capacity to withstand. Three bands came. They were instantly converted. The chief priest himself came. He prophesied naked. Oneness. The Bible said the company of the prophets, they prophesied. They were prophesying. As they were there, they were all in one accord. The Bible says Samuel was standing as a chief priest over them. And all of them were giving the utterances of God. There was no breaking of rank. Everything was in order, in unity and in oneness. The power of God was present. Oneness is the secret to absolute power. There is no weapon of mass destruction that is potent against this kind of power. No nuclear weapon, no atomic bomb can withstand this kind of power. Because whichever way you come, before you press the knob, something else will begin to operate you. This is what we must strive to attain. The place of absolute power. I'm not talking about an individual power. I'm talking about a the kind of force that will be among the people that no force on earth in the universe can work negatively against them. The first apostolic ministry that was better was born on the altar of fellowship. In the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, we saw the list of the caliber of men that were in fellowship. The Bible said in verse 2 that as they ministered to the Lord in prayer and in fasting, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry that I have called them." They were in one accord as they lifted up their voice to pray. The express word of God came. The Bible didn't tell us who heard. I want to believe that it was audible, that everyone in the building heard. Something happened in the book of Acts, chapter 4. The disciples were threatened never again to preach in the name of Christ. And the Bible said in verse 24 that they went back to their own company. And together in one accord, they lifted up their voice and they prayed. At the rank of people that were gathered there, you will know that there are men of stature individually. The likes of Peter was there. The likes of John was there. The likes of Matthew, Thomas were there. Men of rank, men of power, men of influence, they were all there. But none of them had the experience that they had corporately. Because there is a kind of power that only you can never summon, no matter how determined you are. They began to pray. Let's listen to the utterances of their prayer. You see, and when they heard, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them." He said, oh my God. Kali Baba. I'm also never know where I am. You are. Permit me, let me just read it. He said, when God had raised up. And when they heard, they lifted up their voice to God and with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God which had made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them." Is in verse 29, see the prayer they made to God after they brought him into remembrance of the things he has done. He said, "And now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. With all the stature, rank that were found in that place, no individual had that testimony. It's just like only me coming here and I began to pray, or apostle comes here and only him is praying. And then the whole of this building began to vibrate, shake. None of them had that experience. But when they came together in one accord, as a people, just like we are gathering like this, they began to petition the God of heaven in oneness of heart. If you read further, you will hear the Bible say they were all in one mind, in one soul. They were of one spirit, one soul. There was no difference. There was no segregation among them. And that was why they were able to summon that kind of power. The place where they were gathered was shaken. The mystery of oneness. The devil came so strong. He was targeting the people of the disciples of Jesus. He was looking for the weak among them to take. He was doing what round, checking them all out, one by one, one by one. The time came that Peter almost fell. And Jesus spoke to him. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan have desired to have you and to sift you like chaff before the wind, but what I have prayed for you. No matter how the devil tried, he couldn't penetrate their rank because they were in robust fellowship. Every time they were with the master, the only one that the devil took, he was able to take him in John chapter. See, John, my gosh. Yes, John 13, from verse 21 to 27. The only person that he was able to take was who? Judas Iscariot. And that was when Jesus, on account of the desire to see the scriptures fulfilled, he gave him up. He said, the one that will dip after I have dipped this soap is the one that will betray me. And the moment he dipped it, he gave it to Judas Iscariot. He said, now, go. That which you must do, do it quickly. And the Bible said the devil entered in because of oneness. The desire of the devil for the people that were with Jesus couldn't find expression. They were in one accord. 247. They were in unity. Bounded together in love. Now, if you read the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said something. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not what? Shall not prevail against it. The confidence he had in that utterance is not necessarily because of the power of his godhood. He had an understanding that by oneness, the ecclesia will be an impregnable fortress. No matter the forces that are marshaled against it, it will never prevail because they will be standing and deeply rooted in oneness. This was why he prayed earnestly in the book of John 17, verse 11. He said that they may be one, just like you and I are one. In 21, 22, 23, he cried that they may be made perfect in oneness. The reason is because he knows that if they can attain oneness, there is no force in the universe that can prevail against it. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. He prayed the Father earnestly. Oh, that they may be one, just like you and I are one. A united church is an unstoppable church. A united people is an impregnable fortress. The devil understands this. That is why he comes with all kinds of schemes, exploring the weakness of the self nature, and dragging the body into deep layer of weakness, so that we cannot access the power that we are supposed to summon by the reason of our unitedness. He said, on this rock, I will build my church. Oneness. It takes oneness to stand and to stand in the gap for your fellow. Something happened in the book of Acts chapter 12. When Herod stretched forth his hand to vex Satan the church, the Bible says he took James, the brother of John, and killed him. James was the pillar. He was the prayer engine of the early church. The church history describes him as praying so much that his knee appeared to be like the knee of camel. The skin here has become so hardened from kneeling down. But when the devil entered Herod to vex Satan the church, the hand that he stretched forth, he went for the most vibrant and pulled him out and slew him. He saw that he pleased the Jews. And again, he stretched forth his hand and picked Peter, who is the father of the apostolic movement. That was when the church woke up. The Bible says prayer was made for Peter non-stop, day and night. There were men that denied themselves food that Peter must not be executed on account of the decision they made. God seeing the oneness they had in the spirit. An angel had to be sent on an errand quickly. They bound Peter and kept him in the fourth room of the prison. Two soldiers by him. But when the angel came, he said, rise up. Because the people of God assembled themselves somewhere and they began to demand the life of their fellow brother. And heaven have no choice but to respond favorably. And an angel was mobilized to bring Peter out of the cell, out of the dungeon. Oneness. This is so important in the heart of God. And the devil understands. So he explored the tool of flesh and self to weaken us. When we gather like this, if I'm not the one on the microphone, I am distracted. If I'm not the one to sing, I'm faulting everything everyone is doing. When it does not affect me directly, I operate differently. We can't attain oneness like that. And we are not doing God, we are only doing ourselves. As a kid, I used to imagine when I hear the story of mighty men in God. I used to imagine that if these men can come together in one place, it means God will come down himself. I used to imagine as a child, I imagine someone like Daddy Adeboye, Daddy Kumwe, Pastor Chris, Bishop, all of them gather in one room and they begin to decree. I began to imagine the thing that will happen. Because in my eye, they are what? Big men of God. But I can't understand why those kind of fellowship doesn't take place. Because the devil infiltrated our rank and sowed the seed of discord. Either by doctrine or by dogma. He caused a separation. So we never come to that place of oneness.
As a whole night, am I an old? Am I an old? Am I an old side? And if you are so sire, no shyly moon. Whom you answer, you move the high low. The guy loves Sado and the high old. Alebai tamme hode kafetra yosa sefo ubae ina iote gahaye aga ino mosasa ile ole Ozasefeni Montoho Sofronos and I know Shaggy Moment.
Many of us don't. You've not come to the understanding of many things. Let me show you something. Why do you think we speak in tongue primarily? I know there are many teachings around it, but I want to show you the one that is not common. In the book of Genesis, chapter 11, we saw the story of the Tower of Babel. The Bible said the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they say one to another, go to, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Now, as at this time, physically, they have not started that project. They only conceive it. They only imagine it. He said, let us build for ourselves a tower whose head towers into the heavens, that we may make a name for ourselves, so that we will not be scattered. These are men that are deliberately working against the commandment of the immortal. After the flood of Noah, the Lord came. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and what? Have dominion. But here are these people, they decided to camp in one place, refusing to migrate. They did not only refuse to migrate, they decided to embark on a project that will help them enter into the realm of God. Self-preservation. Say, so that an animal will not come and scatter us. When they imagine it, it was an imagination, but it was real in the eyes of God. And the Bible said, God, the Lord came down to see the tower that the sons of men builded or had builded. Verse 6. It says, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and these they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Verse 7. He said, go to, let us go down and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Because they were in one language, they were of one language rather, whatever they imagined to do, the Bible says, nothing will be able to stop them. The only strategy available to God was what? To confound their language so that they will not understand each other, so that they will not have that unity of purpose, that unity which was power to accomplish. But when the time came, when God wanted men to become one again, what he did was he sent the Spirit. And the first thing the Spirit did was what? Was to lose your tongue. The Bible said in the book of Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, he said, they heard the sound as of a rushing mighty wind that entered the building, and a cloven tongue of as of fire sat upon every head. And the first thing they did was what? They began to speak in other tongues. Their tongue were loose. What does that tell you? That is one of the major protocol of attaining oneness in our dispensation. So as we gather here, you came with your thoughts, you came with your desires, you came with what you want to achieve. I came with mine, the other brother came with his, the other sister came with theirs. But there is something that God wants us to achieve corporately.
Well, he knows that we are selfish individuals. So he will say, come, pray in the spirit.
So when you start, Kandoate, Maman Chanta, and you say, ah, Lord, my house rent. Lord, my marriage. Lord, my car. Lord, my job. While you are shaking your head, thinking that you are dealing with this heavy obstacle, what the Holy Ghost is doing is he's galvanizing us in the spirit. He's galvanizing us in the spirit. I am dealing with my own issue. You are dealing with your own issue. He's dealing with his own issue. What he's doing is, because of course, if you speak in tongues, do you know what you are saying? Unless you are granted access, right? If he chooses to hide it from you, you don't know what you are dealing with. Howbeit, you might think that you are dealing with the issue that brought you before God. Except you don't speak in tongues. He knows how to cure us of self. So as I'm speaking in tongues, I thought I'm dealing with the devil in my father's house. God is harnessing that prayer. And he's saying, come up here, 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 come. And we are charging, thinking we are killing the devil. The Holy Ghost is harvesting that prayer as one. There is an utterance. He put that utterance in your mouth. He put it in my mouth. He put it in his mouth. He put it in your mouth. And all we are saying is one in the spirit. And it will amaze you that what we want, oh Lord, what we are asking, oh Lord, in this forthcoming election, let consumers go and let production come. You might not understand. It is the mystery of oneness. It is the mystery of oneness. This was why on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, he didn't release power in your hands. He didn't begin to give you mind-blowing revelation. What he does is what he said, he loosed their tongue. That tongue that was confounded in Genesis 11 was losing in Acts chapter 2, so that men can grow in rank and come into oneness, so that through the Spirit of God, the will of God can be achieved and established. So as I'm speaking in tongues, you are speaking in tongues. Takata, takata. We are just migrating. There is a height that we will enter. And everything we say is one in the spirit. That is when we begin to summon the powers of the age that is to come. This is why a church that pray in tongues, they experience a measure of power. Because when you begin to pray in tongues, you lose that virtue of self. Even though sometimes, yesterday we were praying here. We were praying for Nigeria. Some people were just shaking their head. And you know, we like deceiving ourselves. You are not saying anything, oh boy, you are shaking your head. It's keyboard you are responding to. Keyboard. Some people, for 3 hours, they didn't even hear their voice, their own voice. But they are there. And some are even chewing chewing gum. But every attempt you make to do the Holy Spirit will filter something there. And you say this one. And when you say it, you think you are dealing with the demon in your family. You are praying for the will of God to be done in Africa. the will of God to be done in Nigeria. If we must defeat self and flesh, personal desires, to bear the burden of the Lord, we must subscribe to this protocol. This is why fellowship becomes important. That by the virtue of fellowship, when we come into oneness, we will come into oneness. You are grace in a certain dimension. You are grace in a certain dimension. You are grace in a certain dimension. But all of us does not have every dimension that is required to triumph in life. So God galvanize us like this together, so that by fellowship, as we interact with each other, your dimension will rub off on me. Maybe you have the ability to create words, and all I know is to speak in tongues. As I fellowship with you over time, the wisdom to create words will rest on me. So I will not just be mighty in the spirit, but I will also be mighty in my pocket. And you will not only be mighty in your pocket, but you will also be mighty in the spirit because of fellowship. This is what self has done with us. He has crippled us so that we don't attain the desire in the heart of God. Imagine if this congregation is a congregation of dead men. People that have lost track, the taste and the aroma of anything in this world doesn't appeal them. The only thing that born in their heart is the yearning of the immortal. Every time you see them, they cry. They are weeping. They are burdened for the dynasty of God. That the immortal dynasty and the will of the immortal will rest and have free course. They don't know what they are doing anymore. All that they're born with is that the will of God will prevail. Imagine if all of us here have attained the level of brokenness. There is no way we will not enter into oneness. And you cannot imagine the power of God that will be summoned if we begin to pray. The reason is because the glory that is trapped on your inside, as you begin to engage it, the one trapped on my inside, as I begin to engage it, it will not be long. This whole place will be full of the glory of God. Say, the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the water what? Cover the sea. That glory is not cloud, though. It's men who are submitted under the government of the Spirit. When they assemble together, they emit, what they emit is eternal glory. Can we attempt to attain oneness? Maybe we will bring deliverance to somebody tonight. I know we have seen a dimension of blessing. I know we have come across a certain layer of provision and incorruptibility. I know we have tasted of a kind of power. But my emphasis tonight is to bring our attention to the ultimate. Why settle for less when we can have more? Why be satisfied with little when there is an ocean for us to take? He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, he said, I will hear. We have been praying, but who are the people praying? Are we truly his people? We just want men and women that we deliberately cultivate a culture of killing the flesh, living beyond self-aggrandizement, living beyond self-preservation, and make the unity of the faith their unique goal. That by all means, we will come into that economy where we will host the dimension of our God that have been allotted to us as a dispensation. of us, what we have is make believe. We have left our altar, and that is why we can do certain things and not care about how it affects God. The altar of intimacy is sick and has been weakened. Tonight I come to summon men back into the bedchamber of intimacy. Because there is no way you will interact with God and He will not point your attention to your weakness, to that thing that is a flesh, an image of self that is in you. Can you pray? Atalamasa. Tantalabazos. Tameshene. Tosasilai. Eketele barayone. Entrile keziana tasaba. Wajene tenira gazanibo. Ela ya 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 ya. Samina kali. Kelematane sinekaya. Skevenas semonos. Wayanani motea. Why deliere? Why lebedianas? Ayayayayaya. Amanatari da 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 da. Some of us might not see the reason for this prayer. Just to show you that you are an important part of a spiritual reality. God operates in quorum. God is a God of quorum. If there is a government, a legislation, or an action that needed to be established, God will seek to raise a quorum of intercessors, a quorum of prophets with stature sufficient enough and formidable enough to bring it to pass. But this is where you come in. Imagine you are part of those selected to bring down the hand of God over a territory. And when everyone stood in the gap, when it came to your time to stand, you are found sleeping. Can you pray and say, Lord, help me so that I will not be the weak one in the chain. will not be the one that will cause a hindrance in the flow. Kalafenasi Omenatani Asalo Kadila Braska Naziz Eteti Breyenas Iteli Deat Iteti Manosalia Jeplos de Galos Kelatera Barak Fosinetisali Kama Sasayina Tai Sana Namasenadia Silivanos Leros Udonanina Clero Varacandeza Kakakaba Kakakaba Kakaya Ekekeketeboroto Itedia de Itedia Teneras Itedia de Bosch Valiero
Let me know you more than I have known you before.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. You and I are one made up the church. You are God's building. I'm God's building. And they said the gate of hell will not prevail against us. I want you to hold somebody and pray for that person from the depth of your heart. Whatever it is that is standing as a gate in the life of whose hand you are holding tonight, in the name of Jesus, by the power of oneness, by the power of oneness, we command deliverance, we command liberty, we command liberty, we command freedom. Is it not written? It shall come to pass in that day that the burden shall be lifted from off thy shoulder, and the yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. And then shall the lawful captive be delivered, shall the prey of the terrible be taken away. And then thus saith the Lord, even the prey of the mighty shall be taken away, and the lawful captive be delivered. For you, and I will send your children. Pray, Shakeliat, Shakamiat, Parayatia,
Of Jesus Christ, we pray. Whatever form of gate that have raised its ugly head against anyone here, by the force of oneness, we command that gate to shatter. You don't understand? Everything that has risen its head as a gate, as a hindrance. The gate talks about the mystery of access. To some it is locked. You can't go in, you can't come out. So you are at one point stagnated. But tonight, by the force of oneness, every gate walking against your life, in the name of Jesus, it is scattered. I said it is scattered. My God, I just saw a padlock. Vana casa, Kalavehani asana, Osofenaki hotela. Anyone under the sound of my voice who is under any form of chain in the spirit, by the force of the Holy Ghost, by the mystery of oneness and the power of unity, in the name of Jesus, I command that chain to fall off. Hola Hase, Hola Hase, Ana Hase, Uliet. The Bible says, who art thou, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? It said, behold, thou art made the plain. In the name of Jesus, everything standing as an obstacle in your life, in your family, in the life of your loved one, by the reason of tonight's encounter, that obstacle is commanded to shatter. In the name of Jesus, Kayadina, Scapandali, Kalasinekesi, Shatinali Teridia, Kaliti Fini Kisalo, Zeble Etiele Tesano, Ichetinia. Thank you. every garment you wear is working the mystery of disfavor around you. Anyone under the sound of my voice, experience movement in your body, a planting that is not of God, by the force of the Spirit, by the fire of the Holy Ghost. That garment is set on fire. That movement is set on fire. Whatever it is that is moving in your body, it is set on fire now. It is set on fire now. In the name of Jesus. Call our friend Asimati. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai.
Just one thing, then we'll go. Our time is quite spent. There's someone I'm seeing, a padlock, a very rust old padlock. It means you have been experiencing the mystery of stagnation, has been working in your life for a long time, as if your legs were chained. You can't move forward, you can't move backward, you can't move forward, you are just stagnated. But that chain will fall off you now. It will fall off you now. Lift up your hands if you can. Ola ha savana kasa. Barash kiva sovenosa savane mosai. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, this one under the yoke of the devil, under the manipulation of wickedness, in the name of Jesus, at the count of seven, let the chain break. Let the chain fall off. Holy Spirit, help me find them. Kalavena si savena kaya. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Touch. Wherever this one is, wherever he is, wherever she is, every form of mystery or stagnation that is at work, I command it to break now. I command it to break now. In the name of Jesus. Kala fesa siva. Ambro hofen. Olote sifan. Kalia no flas. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.